Welcome to another episode of Thinking Like a Bank, where we show you how to think like a bank by applying the same strategies and principles that banks use to help you find more financial freedom in your life. I'm your host, Sari Ibrahim. Today, I'm interviewing Abel Pacheco. He's a real estate entrepreneur and Texas native. With a proven track record of repositioning properties, delivering quality renovated housing products to market, and delivering consistent returns to investment partners, Abel has experience in acquiring distressed properties, managing renovations, raising private capital, and management of multifamily investment properties. Abel and his wife have invested, owned, and operated income-producing properties since 2008. Abel is invested as a general partner and principal in over $150 million of commercial real estate across 17 syndications and 1,500 doors. He is also working through the process of developing a 156-door multifamily property and 98-unit build-to-rent community. He has also served as a commercial loan broker for multifamily real estate. His wife, Leslie, has also invested on her own in 500-plus stores of commercial real estate. Prior to real estate investing, Abel was a senior tech sales executive. He brings 20 years of professional experience, including a verifiable 10x track record, going from 5.6 million of acquisitions to 57 million of acquisitions in 2015. Abel Pacheco, principal of Five Talents Capital, is the host for the Five Talents podcast. He hosts CRE meetup as well as a monthly multifamily meetup, providing free multifamily investing education for others in the community. Abel Pacheco, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you, brother. Thanks for having me. Sari, I appreciate it, bro. How's it going?
Good. I'm looking forward to interviewing you. I was just on your podcast, like literally just went live, I think, last week. So thanks for having me on your podcast. It was nice talking to you during that episode. And I'm excited now to have you on our podcast. Let's talk about real estate, what you're currently doing. You know, before that, tell us more about who you are and your background.
Yeah, my name is Abel Pacheco. I am the president and principal of Five Talents Capital. So we're a private equity real estate firm. We buy assets and provide investment opportunities for others to join us, to partner with us, to co-invest with us. And ultimately, we want to provide limited partner passive investments to others so that others can invest in real estate, get the depreciation, get the cash flow appreciation without having to do any of the work. So that's where we come in. We do all the work. We're trying to find the deals, analyze the deals, and then provide passive investment opportunities for investors who usually, you know, like us, like entrepreneurs and investors want to go invest in real estate without doing a lot of the headache, right? But I'm a married man with my beautiful wife, Leslie. She's my main partner. And man, we've been doing real estate since 08. And we have a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old, my daughter, Lana, and Bo. And man, they've been coming to us to the real estate deal since they were little tykes. And I hope to continue that. And man, San Antonio, Texas, we got family members, the Pachecos, who were defenders at the Battle of the Alamo.
Oh, wow.
So we're able to trace our lineage back. And so we're, you know, sons and daughters of the Republic of Texas. And so that's us, man. San Antonio bred, you know, born in, and, you know, just real estate folks now. So that's what we do.
And was it real estate that got you into real estate because of family, because of being able to have the freedom and flexibility of spending time with family?
Yeah, it's 100%. Yeah, when I think back into my oldest memories about real estate, my dad took me when I was 3, 4, 5, you know, and he would take me to one rental house that he had. We lived in a house. We grew up in a neighborhood, little itty bitty house. And when we moved to the next one, we'd go back and collect rent because he didn't sell it. He rented it out. And so I remember picking up the check, and then he would take me afterwards for like burger, fries, and a milkshake somewhere. And I was like, I associated those as a little kid. I get time with my dad. I get to talk to the renters. There was no electronic payment. So yeah. We would do that. And, you know, somewhere that association just kind of clicked and kept on. And throughout the years, I go, man, I want to have more time with the family. I want to retire sooner. I want to be with my children and have the flexibility to do what I want to do when I want to do. And that was, you know, always been the motivation, you know, a little financial freedom. And that was me and my wife, Leslie. We invested since 08. And it was really just me and her for 10 years. And then we slowly realized, we need other investors and partners to scale up. And so that's been the change in trend the last few years since 2018, since we started partnering with other people. But yeah, man, it's a lot of the motivation in there, one way or the other, family and generations. And, you know, I'm technically a second or third generation investor. My grandparents had a one bedroom house. Dad's brothers and sisters, there was seven of them in that one bedroom house in San Antonio, Texas. Then my dad had his two bedroom, and it was a family of five in there. And then that just kind of was like, oh, if I think about it, I am a third generation investor. And today we're part owners in about 1,200, 1,300 doors today.
Oh, wow, okay.
And that's what we do, man.
And then, so you got into real estate 2008. Have you always been in real estate, or what did you do before 2008?
I've been a tech guy. Even
oh.
in I've been a tech guy all the way to 2020. I was a sales manager, sales director, salesperson for years and years and years. Sales leader, sales mentor, coach, all the things sales.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I grew up doing when I was little kid, learned from my dad till, you know, I found in 06 that there was an amazing opportunity to jump into tech. And I learned all of the IT hosting things. We're working at a company called Rackspace. It's a literal tech unicorn. So we went from 600 employees to 6,000. When I started there, it was a $100 million business. So it already had a lot of legs to it. But when I left, it was a $2 billion company. And so that was my first 10x run. I went from about $5 million to about $50 million a year in revenue under our team. And so we grew in 10x that business, and kind of the cycle start where you're realizing, oh man, $50 million a year, that's awesome. How much of that is mine?
Yeah.
It's like, none of it. Your W-2 was yours. And the moment you stop working, you know, there's no ownership in it. So that during that time period was 08, was like, hey, I'm making some money in tech. We have a big team. We have, you know, leadership. We're making some money. Let's invest it. Let's go buy a first house and a second house and third house and fourth house. So we bought, me and my wife bought 8 houses together for about 8 years. And then we went to 10 houses. And that's when we said, oh, single family is really hard. It's going to take forever. We got to shift to commercial. And that was the shift in 2018. But I've been full-time real estate since 2020. So this is approaching our, you know, third year. And full-time commercial real estate. Before then, I was always doing both. I was always working and investing at the same time.
And then, so I'm seeing two big problems with like the W-2, right? Is that one is taxes, right? Like as you're making more money, like you have to pay more taxes as a W-2 employee. And then the other part problem is like you said, like as you're working, it's almost like reactionary. Like you're working now for W-2 income, and then all the work you're doing is like for now. Whereas real estate is like the exact opposite. It's like a lot of work, but it's for the future, and it keeps compounding forward. So I guess those are the two main things. So I guess, and then to tie in taxes with that, and with real estate, being a real estate professional, you could actually grow your income. And as you're growing your income, grow your losses too, which saves you more on taxes if you're a real estate, if you have real estate professional status. So you mind sharing more on that? Like, the journey to growing wealth without necessarily growing your tax bill.
This is a big shift in mindset. Like you said, time and taxes.
Yeah.
So I invested for 10 years, nearly 8 to 10 years in single family houses. No investors, just me and my wife, saved all of our bucks. And every couple of years we have 20, 30K, we buy another house. Now, when I did the math on it, at the end of that 8 to 10 years, I had 250K worth of equity. And a little bit was appreciation. A lot of it was my investment amount to initially buy the deal. And what had happened was I realized, well, shoot, the first time I measured my personal financial statement, your assets minus your liabilities, what's your net worth? I go, I'm 250K net worth in all of our real estate. That was all the equity. And around everybody else around me, I was the real estate guy. I was the only person in my little network with like 8 or 9 houses. People are like, how do you do that? Right. But I did the math. I go, man, that was 10 years. It's going to take me another 10 years. And maybe we'll get to 500K or 750 and another 10 years after that before we're getting like $10,000 of cash flow a month to kind of quote unquote retire or have $1 million. And that was pretty much, you know, I might as well stay working for the next 20, 30 years, right? So there was no additional time benefit. It just felt like I was living on a lower budget than some of my sales guys under me because I needed to have that money to invest. So that the time part didn't really work for me in single family, which is why commercial multifamily started you know, the light bulbs went off, mainly because of the other thing you mentioned, taxes.
Yeah.
So at the end of my career, like when 2006, in 2005, I sold Cutco knives. I went in home presentations, sold knives. I did that for 5 years, and that's what paid my way through college. But I was making about 40-50K selling Cutco. And as a 20-year-old kid, that was pretty cool. But the moment I started 26 on my IT job, they were paying me like 50-60K. Then the next year, I made like 70K. It was commissions, sales, 80, 90, 100, and I started making more. It took me to the end of 2016, 10 years later, that I finally started making $300,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, great, my W-2 is increasing. But the pride back then as a sales guy was like, oh, I paid a ton of money in taxes. Yeah. I used to say, the more I pay in taxes, the better I'm, the happier I am, because the more that I make in commission. Well, the aha moment was, we invested that year, one of the last years that we did this, 2016, we started saying, oh, I need to go to commercial. We put $100K in our investments, $100,000 cash. And in commercial, we accelerated the depreciation, provided a cost segregation study, and got about $60,000 of paper losses of that $100K. My tax bill was about 60K on the 300K W-2.
Mm-hmm.
So my wife became the real estate professional, the full-time real estate professional in our marriage, and filing jointly, her real estate professional status, full-time real estate, we put in the 100K. The 60K of losses reduced my taxable income as a W-2 professional. So essentially, the $60,000 that we would have paid as a W-2 earner got eliminated the moment we invested 100K. So we had the $60,000 swing. It was like, man, that the investment, you know, that first year may have well been a 60% return, because I was going to pay that in taxes anyway. Light bulb goes off, and like, dude, I'm doing it all wrong. How do I go into this? And that's what was kicked off the run to commercial real estate.
Well, that's awesome, because I love that, because when you have that high paying W-2 job, you think there's nothing you could do like but pay $60,000 a year, or sometimes even more. Like imagine if you're like a surgeon, a W-2 surgeon, you make like $700,000 a year as a W-2 employee. Like, it's going to be a lot more. And again, people in those brackets and those incomes are used to it. Like they've been planning that since they were in med school or law school or whatever. Like, oh, I'm going to end up paying $100,000 a year in taxes anyway when I grow up, you know? So, but when you have a solution for that, like real estate, I also interviewed somebody who does energy investing, where you can invest into energy and then offset W-2 income taxes. So when you have these creative things, it really changes everything. And then just here's another perspective too, is like when you save on taxes, that's cool, right? Like you save $60,000, but what about that $100,000 you put into that real estate deal? That has a potential. What can you tell us more? What happened with the $100,000 you put into real estate?
So essentially you're on a track, a projected track record to double money in about 6 years, which is what our goal is. Every time we put a seed out, 50K, 100K, whatever, that seed, we want it to double in 6 years. That's the ultimately the rule of 72. Money doubles at 16% compounded every year for 6 years. And if we can invest it moving forward, then 100 turns to 2 years and six years. So it hasn't quite come around full cycle yet, but that's the goal of it. It's like 100 in 6 years, it becomes 200.
Yeah.
In 12 years from now, we want it to become 400. And, you know, every six, how do we get it to 800? How do we get to 1.6 million? Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, when I'm older, and that's one seed, the goal is, how do I plant those seeds as quickly and often as possible? How do I get my next 50K seed to go invest? And that's the goal. How many seeds can I plant that will double in 6 years?
Yeah, exactly. So like you take, like if your anticipated internal rate of return is 12%, you take 72, divide that by 12, and you get six. So in 100,000, 200,000.
Okay, 12% IR saying is I love
and
it.
Sometimes it's even more than that, right? 12% is kind of on the conservative end. It could be, you know, I've invested in deals where we're projecting like above 15%, but obviously it's not guaranteed. It depends on the situation. But and then that's just one time. Like if you just did 100,000 one time, what if you did 100,000 a year into real estate over like a 10-year period, you know, then that's where like you could, you know, really change everything.
It is 100%, you know, so for those investors or entrepreneurs, you know, high net worth earners, you guys are, you know, trying to figure out these new ways to avoid taxes, or rather just an old system that you may not be leveraging already. That old system, you know, the wealthy have already been playing by these rules. They're already investing the same way. You know, the rules, the laws, the things that are in place from the IRS, the benefits or the advantages, once you know them, then you just leverage the system that's in place, right? And you can leverage it and go win the way the wealthy, you know, are winning. So yeah, go do the same. Become wealthy the same way. Just join and leverage.
Exactly. That's so true. And I see people like I don't know why I've been really into like comments on like YouTube videos and kind of like going down that opinionated route of like seeing what people think about certain things. And so many people are like, oh, rich people, we should increase the taxes. We should stop private equity firms from taking over real estate. We should increase, you know, minimum wage. And I'm like, why don't you just try to pursue some of these vehicles? Private equity firms are not something that are only available to billionaires. You can join a private equity firm with like $25,000 or $50,000. Again, like you can join this whole trend of making money and saving tax. It's not something that's completely out of your hands, away from you, distant from you. So that's one part of it too. And another part of it too is that like these aren't some crazy like secretive loopholes that like the government doesn't want you to know about where you're saving money on taxes. They wrote the laws for you and it's transparent. The reason why is because when you invest in real estate and you're providing housing, it's almost like you're taking on a government duty, because like in some countries, the governments provide housing, they build, you know, but in the United States, it's like, it's better if privatized corporations take over those duties. And in exchange for that, they're incentivized through taxes, and not just in real estate, but in many sectors. So it's like being promoted for you to become a real estate investor, to save on taxes and to grow like housing and other asset classes.
Yeah, I love it, man. The duty, right? Yeah. And that, you know, the first year that I talked to my CPA that we did this swing, my wife stayed home. She didn't work because she was making about 50, 60K a year. And we basically said, I guess that you need to stay home because it's a 60K swing if you're the real estate professional, not a W-2 employee. So that's what she did that first year. And I kind of felt, honestly, I felt guilty. I was like, I'm not paying. I'm one of those guys that doesn't pay their taxes. And I told my CPA this. I go, is this right? Is this legal? Is this the right way to do it? And he goes, man, it's perfectly legal. This is exactly the incentive and the duty. Like you said, the government needs to provide housing for workforce America. And when they can't do something themselves sufficient enough to serve the people, they provide incentives for others so that you can do the work that they should be doing, provide housing. That's the incentive. And then, you know, the mindset that he shared with me too, he goes, dude, you're not just, you believe you're not paying taxes, but he goes, you're actually paying way more taxes.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Than you think you are, because Abel Pacheco may owe zero, but your corporation paid its taxes. You paid the lawyer to do the syndication attorney. You paid the title company to do the transaction and all the people that work there in title. You paid all the construction, the contractors, and you paid for materials. You paid for property management. You paid for the CPA to do your taxes and you the K-1s. And
taxes.
Every, you know, all the property taxes, every single... He goes, you paid way more taxes than you would ever imagine as a corporation and a business. There's all these taxes that you've created for the government to collect. And Abel may have gotten the personal benefits as the investor, but you paid more and provided more tax benefit to the government than you would ever done being a W-2 single employee not doing this work. And then that's when my head was going, oh, I get it. That's why there's a benefit.
It's almost like the IRS is betting on you. Like instead of them taking $60,000 from you now, they'll let you invest it and then grow that money and make even more money with that money later on. And you can even take it a step further. Let's say you have 100-unit multifamily building and you have all those people who have jobs, then all those people are paying Social Security taxes, Medicare taxes, federal income taxes, state income taxes if you're like in Illinois or California. So it keeps going and it keeps like rolling.
And that's it, man. So like once you have the right paradigm, I think it's everything makes it a little more like under you understand, oh, this is why, you know, we don't pay the individual because they're getting way more taxes on it. They're smart. They're smart too, man. They collected a ton of taxes. So
exactly. Their job is solely to predict how to make to bring in more tax revenue through these, you know, all these types of strategies. Like, we'll give deductions here, we'll give credits here, we'll give depreciation here. It's to bring in more tax revenue in the future through different ways. Let's kind of transition a little bit. So fast forward to today, what kind of fund or syndication are you currently working on today?
You know, in the 1200 doors, we've essentially done about 12 or 13 syndications is what we call them. We created an investing syndicate anywhere between, you know, 30, and our last deal had 120 investors. It was a $43 million deal. We had $19 million of equity that we had to raise. So it was 120 investors that brought in, you know, millions and millions of dollars. That's the last one that we closed in September. In our deal, we have our fund investment. So you have the deal that's the vehicle, the investment. That's a direct opportunity. And then we also launched at the same time our third fund, Fund 3. On that fund, we are essentially saying, hey, we're trying to buy 2 to 3, maybe 3 to 4 assets if we can in a calendar year, 12 months. And if we can crush that or hit that, that's the investment portfolio. That's a diversified portfolio where investors can put 100K, 200K, really whatever amount into the fund, and the money will be diversified over multiple assets, anything that we buy within 12 months. So the fund is invested in the first 200 unit deal in Dallas, Texas, and one of the great, you know, great submarkets in Allen, Texas. And that's what we're working on. So we purchased it, has hitting pro forma projections so far since last year. And then we're just raising more capital in our fund. And that enables other passive investors to get in, use their dollars, try to get in something for the next year. So yeah, man, if anybody's interested in listening, go to 5talents.capital. I'm sure Sari will have the link and all that stuff. And you can find all kinds of education and, you know, resources, ebooks, our own podcast where we listen to Sari provide some really good insight. You know, all the links are there. So happy to have anybody come to 5talents.capital and learn more about that fund if anybody's interested in investing.
Yeah, I'll put in that link in the show notes below. They can go there, they can connect with you, find your podcast, download an ebook, learn how to invest with you. The deals are there. Yeah, so I'll put in all those links in the show notes below. It was a pleasure interviewing you today and getting to know more about you and some of your business that's going on. And I'm looking forward to having you back on the podcast in the future.
Absolutely, brother. Absolutely. Thanks a lot, Sarah. It's a pleasure talking to you. And thank you for all the time, effort, and energy you put into, because if you're not, you know, really liking, supporting, subscribing, leaving the written comments for Sarah, you're doing it injustice, because you're taking a bunch of time, effort, and energy that Sarah's putting in to provide you education. You need to go pour into a system, like, subscribe, rate, review, send the podcast out to others so others can learn. Don't hoard all the education for yourself. Sarah's done, he's done a lot of interviews and send a lot of good educational content for others. So share it.
Thanks, Abel. I appreciate that. And go to Abel's podcast to check it out. Leave a review for him as well. Subscribe to it. Check it out.
To learn more about what we do and how we can help you grow more wealth, please visit www.finassetprotection.com. That's F-I-N, assetprotection.com. The topics presented in this podcast are for general information only and not for the purposes of providing legal, accounting, or investment advice. On such matters, please consult a professional who knows your specific situation.